Passover to Pentecost Daily Devotionals. Today we count day 12 of the Omer. By Carmen Joy Eames. Exodus 13, verse 17, to chapter 14, verse 31. When Pharaoh finally let the people go, God did not lead them along the main road that runs through Philistine territory, even though that was the shortest route to the promised land. God said, "If the people are faced with a battle, they might change their minds and return to Egypt." So, God led them in a roundabout way through the wilderness toward the Red Sea. Thus, the Israelites left Egypt like an army ready for battle. Moses took the bones of Joseph with him, for Joseph had made the sons of Israel swear to do this. He said, "God will certainly come to help you, and when he does, you must take my bones with you from this place." The Israelites left Sukkot and camped at Etham on the edge of the wilderness. The Lord went ahead of them. He guided them during the day with a pillar of cloud, and he provided light at night with a pillar of fire. This allowed them to travel by day or by night, and the Lord did not remove the pillar of cloud or the pillar of fire from its place in front of the people. Then the Lord gave these instructions to Moses: "Order the Israelites to turn back and camp by Pi Harithoth, between Migdol and the sea. Camp there along the shore, across from Baal Zephon. Then Pharaoh will think, 'The Israelites are confused. They are trapped in the wilderness.' And once again, I will harden Pharaoh's heart, and he will chase after you. I have planned this in order to display my glory through Pharaoh and his whole army. After this, the Egyptians will know that I am the Lord." So the Israelites camped there as they were told. When word reached the king of Egypt that the Israelites had fled, Pharaoh and his officials changed their minds. "What have we done, letting all those Israelite slaves get away?" they asked. So Pharaoh harnessed his chariot and called up his troops. He took with him 600 of Egypt's best chariots, along with the rest of the chariots of Egypt, each with its commander. The Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, so he chased after the people of Israel, who had left with fists raised in defiance. The Egyptians chased after them with all the forces in Pharaoh's army, all his horses and chariots, his charioteers, and his troops. The Egyptians caught up with the people of Israel as they were camped beside the shore near Pi Haritha, across from Baal Zephon. As Pharaoh approached, the people of Israel looked up and panicked when they saw the Egyptians overtaking them. They cried out to the Lord and they said to Moses, "Why did you bring us out here to die in the wilderness? Weren't there enough graves for us in Egypt? What have you done to us? Why did you make us leave Egypt? Didn't we tell you this would happen while we were still in Egypt? We said, 'Leave us alone. Let us be slaves to the Egyptians. It's better to be a slave in Egypt than a corpse in the wilderness.'" But Moses told the people, "Don't be afraid. Just stand still and watch the Lord rescue you today. The Egyptians you see today will never be seen again. The Lord himself will fight for you. Just stay calm." Then the Lord said to Moses, "Why are you crying out to me? Tell the people to get moving. Pick up your staff, raise your hand over the sea. Divide the water so the Israelites can walk through the middle of the sea on dry ground. And I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians, and they will charge in after the Israelites. My great glory will be displayed through Pharaoh and his troops, his chariots, and his charioteers. When my glory is displayed through them, all Egypt will see my glory and know that I am the Lord." Then the angel of God, who had been leading the people of Israel, moved to the rear of the camp. The pillar of cloud also moved from the front and stood behind them. The cloud settled between the Egyptian and Israelite camps, and as darkness fell, the cloud turned to fire, lighting up the night. But the Egyptians and Israelites did not approach each other all night. Then Moses raised his hand over the sea, and the Lord opened up a path through the water with a strong east wind. The wind blew all that night, turning the seabed into dry land. So the people of Israel walked through the middle of the sea on dry ground, with walls of water on each side. Then the Egyptians, all of Pharaoh's horses, chariots, and charioteers, chased them into the middle of the sea. But just before dawn, the Lord looked down on the Egyptian army from the pillar of fire and cloud, and he threw their forces into total confusion. He twisted their chariot wheels, making their chariots difficult to drive. "Let's get out of here, away from these Israelites," the Egyptians shouted. "The Lord is fighting for them against Egypt." When all the Israelites had reached the other side, the Lord said to Moses, "Raise your hand over the sea again. Then the waters will rush back and cover the Egyptians and their chariots and charioteers." So as the sun began to rise, Moses raised his hand over the sea, and the water rushed back into its usual place. The Egyptians tried to escape, but the Lord swept them into the sea. Then the waters returned and covered all the chariots and charioteers, the entire army of Pharaoh. Of all the Egyptians who had chased the Israelites into the sea, not a single one survived. But the people of Israel had walked through the middle of the sea on dry ground, as the water stood up like a wall on both sides. And that is how the Lord rescued Israel from the hand of the Egyptians that day. And the Israelites saw the bodies of the Egyptians washed up on the seashore. When the people of Israel saw the mighty power that the Lord had unleashed against the Egyptians, they were filled with awe before him. They put their faith in the Lord and in his servant Moses. Are we safe? Finding security. We may be long centuries removed from Israel's wilderness wanderings, but we share many of the same basic human instincts. Like the Israelites, we want to know if we can close our eyes at night and fall asleep in safety. Uncertainty breeds anxiety. As I read the wilderness narratives with students, the question I'm asked more than any other is this: how can the Israelites so quickly forget God's power to deliver them? The people who've seen 10 dramatic plagues on Egypt, whose own households were spared devastation, whose neighbors have willingly given them silver and gold and clothes for their journey, who've heard Pharaoh's command to get out. These are the same people who quickly change their tune as Pharaoh chases them in hot pursuit. The Hebrews are terrified and they cry out, "Was it because there were no graves in Egypt that you brought us to the desert to die? What have you done to us by bringing us out of Egypt? Didn't we say to you in Egypt, 'Leave us alone, let us serve the Egyptians'? It would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the desert." A wonderful promise becomes much harder to believe when we are tired and hungry, or when we can't imagine how things will play out. Abraham Maslow claimed as much in his 1943 essay, which popularized a hierarchy of needs. He posited that certain needs are fundamental, such as physiological needs, food, water, air, and sleep, and the need for safety. And without these in place, people are less motivated to focus on higher level needs such as love, esteem, and self-actualization. Contrary to Maslow's assumption, we do not become who we are meant to be by seeking to fulfill every felt need. Still, his overall idea is helpful. Without fulfillment of basic needs, such as food, water, and a safe place to live, people will very quickly lose interest in promises relating to higher order thinking about values or beliefs or opportunities. Remember when Moses delivered God's great promise of deliverance to the Hebrews in Egypt? Moses reported this to the Israelites, but they did not listen to him because of their discouragement and harsh labor. Exodus 6:9. The promise was glorious, but they weren't buying it. Hunger, thirst, and fear are powerful masters. These days, so is the lack of internet access. Yahweh knows this. Remarkably, he does not chide the Israelites when they complain or panic as they travel towards Sinai. He simply provides for their needs. He utilizes this trek to demonstrate to them his trustworthiness. Trust is not automatic, and God does not expect it to be. He patiently works on Israel's behalf until they can see that he is worthy of their confidence. God's guidance and protection of the Israelites cultivate their trust in him and in Moses. See Exodus 14:31. The wilderness is his classroom. He has work to do in the Israelites that can only be done in a state of dislocation in liminal space. In a time of reflection, write a list of the ways God has been faithful to you in this past year. How has he been patient with you? What ways has he grown you in trust? Take some time to respond in prayer to the Lord. Thank you.
Thank you.